Hello, hello, hello. I am your Rachel Ray, hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth.
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood.
To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to look.
Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
I got the goosebumps.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I am your raspy voice, hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And how are y'all doing? I obviously am still just like messed up from the cough of it all. Yep, I had to say of it all. And, you know, people's 40th birthday, the holidays are really taking a toll on your girl Munoz this season. But you know what? We're gonna push through and we are gonna make it through and everything is going to be all right. We are trucking along straight through December. I've already had eggnog, no coquito just yet, and I am awaiting. The boxes of Christmas treats are bountiful in my 120 square feet foot apartment, and I'm just gaining weight by the day, and yeah, it's all good things, and I'm keeping that holiday spirit no matter what. And speaking of the holiday spirit, I am just going to get to the getting on today because I'm really, really excited to have my guests. Yep, you heard right. Guests on today because it's been a little bit of a journey to get here with them, but I am so excited to have the one, the only, the husbands that cook themselves. Please welcome Ryan Alvarez and Adam Merritt. Say hi.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're so happy to be here.
Oh, my God. Thank you for being here. And I usually say I am living my Delilah dreams on this podcast. Do we remember Delilah? Do you know who Delilah is?
Which Delilah? Like, how
famous,
far back are we going?
Famous radio host Delilah, like late nights with Delilah, and she'd give like love advice and then play your song of choice.
Oh my God, I don't think I know her. I don't know. See, I grew up in Portland, Oregon, so I don't know if we had Delilah all the way out there.
We had Dr. Drew out here.
I really feel like Delilah has been syndicated. She's a national treasure.
Well, I am regretting my life choices that I've never heard of her until now.
But instead of my Delilah dreams today, I'm obviously living my Rachel Ray raspy voice dreams.
You know? Yes. Oh, yes. You got it. Like, it's perfect.
Don't strain too much. Need your voice for future podcasts.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. This isn't her first time at the rodeo, and she is just going to be A-okay. Well, boys, before we get anywhere in the grand tradition of In Yo Mouth, I need to wish you Happy National Gingerbread Latte Day.
Yay!
Wow.
Happy National Gingerbread Latte Day.
Thank you so much.
I mean, I love gingerbread. And I love fun holiday lattes. So I'm down. I love it.
All in a cookie. I'm down.
Yeah, exactly.
A cookie. Yeah. I mean, gingerbread latte. Let's dissect. Mm. Did we really need to marry the gingerbread with the latte to begin with? And then why did we need an entire day for it?
I mean, to begin with, I would say yes. Because like I said, I'm a fan of the pumpkin spice latte. You can call me basic whatever. I enjoy cinnamon spice and holiday things. I like warm beverages. And I like it. So yeah. I think the more the better. I know people love to hate on like the fun, froofy drinks. But whatever. I love it. Whether we need a whole day for it, I'm not as sure about. But any day is National Gingerbread Latte Day if you really believe in yourself.
Yeah, I'm a coffee purist here, right? Even so much like a coffee snob, if you will, and I will. And so I don't know if I want gingerbread in my latte. But then again, I have been using eggnog almond milk in my latte. So does that make me a hypocrite? Maybe.
That does. maybe a little. But just the thing is, just don't think of it as coffee. Like if you think of coffee as like this pure art form, black, perfect, unsweetened, whatever, these things are like, they're not even coffee. They're more of just like a milkshake that happens to have a little kick in it.
Oh.
Just think of it that way. Then maybe.
I live for the dissertation.
Milkshake with a kick.
did we write our doctorate on this? Because it's
I think. I mean, you know, I'm a fan. I love it.
Well, you're in luck because it also happens to be National Lemon Cupcake Day.
Okay. National lemon. Seems, you know, that's really specific. I mean, I don't know. I'm a fan of lemon baked goods as well.
We like lemon everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a good lemon cake or like a key lime pie. Anything really citrusy.
Lemon desserts. Yeah, slap all the time. You can't go wrong with a lemon dessert, you know?
No. You really can't. Like a really good key lime pie is a piece of art.
Like a really good lemon square.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
As long as you don't mess up that lemon curd. Yes, right?
It's got to be silky. No lumps.
No lumps.
It's got to have tang too. If it's too sweet, it's just kind of like any other dessert, but it's got to have like a lemony flavor too.
Yeah, like a bite.
Well, I mean,
I like sour things.
I don't know if this was coincidence, luck, or just the holiday magic, but we had a national day for both of you. And no matter what you celebrate out there, we celebrate you. And moving right along into this day in gay history. Boys, did you know that in 1928, having been published in Paris the previous July, Radcliffe Hall's The Well of Loneliness, the first major novel in English with an explicitly pro-lesbian theme, is published in the U.S. Americans buy more than 20,000 copies of the book within the next month, making it a bestseller. 1928.
Wow. That's amazing.
Very interesting that it sold that much and got that much exposure back then.
I mean, clearly people were interested in hearing these stories. That's so cool that it was that early. I had no idea.
20,000 copies in 1928 has to be like the equivalent of like a million copies today, right?
Yeah, that's more than just like a little underground paper.
Oh, yeah. I mean, before a lot of ways that people find out about books now. I mean, how do people even hear about it? It must have been such like word of mouth and probably newspapers were talking about it. I'm sure some people said it was really scandalous. So maybe that probably helped sales.
It was probably the scandal that like sold it. But like everybody was here for a lesbian moment.
I love it. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, obviously we've been around forever and people have been telling like coded stories forever, but if there was like
talked about so openly.
Forever. Yeah. If there was like an explicitly like out front, like this is a queer character. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's cool.
Right. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
There was a lot of history today, but I really love when these little gems from a really long time ago, like pop up because I always say on the podcast, we've been here. We have been, right? And so what must have that been like in 1928, right? For that writer to be like lesbians, you know?
because it was like, it was criminalized, right?
I mean,
like if you could go to jail for engaging in same-sex affection in public or even in your own home.
Yeah.
So to come out and write about it was definitely took some guts.
Yeah, I think there was just as many gay people back then that there is now.
Of course.
It's just there's not as many people out. But it's not like there's more people being gay, more people being born that are gay nowadays.
It's always been
like that since the beginning of time.
Yeah, just more open about it.
Absolutely. Well, I love that little tidbit of gay history. I want to get to getting on because we are here to celebrate you. In your mouth, listeners, you probably already do know because they're really popular, right? Like, we have more gay celebrities on the podcast. But Ryan Alvarez and Adam Marin are two husbands that cook together in a small kitchen in a house on a hill in Eagle Rock, California. They met in 2001 in a recording studio where Ryan was singing with a jazz choir and Adam was the engineer. They fell in love and 5 years later were married. Since its inception in 2015, their blog, Husbands That Cook, was a finalist for Savoir Magazine's Best How-To Cooking Blog Award and a Taste Talks Award nominee for Best Food Blog in 2017. Their self-titled debut cookbook was released in March 2019 with St. Martin's Press, containing over 130 vegetarian recipes, vibrant photos, and stories about their relationship. When they're not cooking, they love being in nature, hiking, and spending time in their garden, as well as supporting their dear friend and taking care of their dear friend going through cancer right now, which I saw as well. That's very important to know. Adam is also a musician and one of the founding members of an indie rock band, The 88. Ryan sings classical music and acts in TV shows and commercials. Welcome, boys.
Welcome. Thank you. What an intro.
Well, what a, I mean, it's yours, right? I love that. How do we go from singing and sound engineering to popular husband food bloggers? Take me on that journey.
Well, so I have always loved to cook. Ever since I was a little kid, I cooked with my mom and with my grandma. I took my first cooking class when I was like 5 years old. I never was a professional. I never went to like culinary school or never worked in a professional kitchen. But I just loved doing it. It was always something that I just loved doing for my family and friends. And for the first, 12 years of our relationship, I did most of the cooking, just because I liked it and Adam likes to eat and I like to eat. So we like doing this stuff together. And so I was cooking all the time, but Adam, even though he wasn't cooking, he always had a really good palate. And even though he wasn't with me in the kitchen, like sometimes he would taste something and be like, you know what, this needs just like a squeeze of lemon or like a little salt or just something a little extra to make it better. And so eventually I got to the point where I'm like, well, you know, if you have these really good ideas, like why don't you come with me, like come cook with me. And so we started cooking together. And then over the years, we started to just develop this folder full of recipes. We would download things from online, make them, make notes all over them, change them, make them our own. And we had this folder that was just sitting there with all these fabulous recipes. And at some point, I was like, you know what, I'm thinking of starting a cooking blog.
And then when he said that, I said, well, if you're going to start a cooking blog, I want to do it with you. So we said that could be fun. And we sat down on the couch and started thinking of names of what we would call ourselves. The very first thing that he said was Husbands That Cook. And after that, we didn't even start thinking of any other names after that. That was the one.
That was the name. But
so we had the name and then we said, okay, well now what? Let's make a blog. So we spent about 2 or 3 months getting the blog all nice and tidy and looking good and presentable.
Yeah.
And then launched it in the end of April
2015. Yeah, we did, because when we had the idea to start, we had this folder of recipes, but we didn't know anything about food photography. We didn't know anything about website design or anything like that. So we, like he said, we took those couple months to kind of make ourselves presentable. We did a bunch of test shoots of different recipes.
And I have to say real quick, those test shoots were so awful.
Disgusting.
Because we knew nothing about food photography and any photography for that matter. So when we started photographing these recipes that we were going to publish, we just thought, oh, that's easy. Just take a camera, press a button in front of the food, and voila.
No. Absolutely not.
No.
It looked terrible.
It looked like vomit. I mean, it was so disgusting, and worse things than that I won't say on the podcast.
That's right. You can say whatever you want. This is our space. It's so funny, though, that you say that, because everyone who I talk to, myself included, if you like really scroll back through the Instagram, like back, and you see these terrible, like just dog food looking food photos.
Exactly.
You thought to yourself, wow, I'm a good photographer. Yes. You know,
at least we knew when we took, at least when we saw the photos, we said, okay, we have to improve. We got to get better. So we looked online and just
got on YouTube,
learned tips on how to make your food look presentable. And I mean, the biggest thing was the natural lighting.
Yeah. Natural
just putting the food in front of a window with light coming through is a lot better than
like holding up your
overhead lighting.
Phone or lighting. Yeah. But yeah, one of their early recipes was this risotto. It's a carrot feta risotto that's delicious. Has like dill and like garlic. It's really good. But we had this fun idea. We're like, oh, let's make the carrots instead of just regular carrots. Let's use rainbow carrots in this risotto. It'd be like a rainbow risotto. Okay, that sounds fun. But what actually happened was the risotto turned pink.
Oh, yeah.
So it looked like a big lumpy bowl of Pepto-Bismol. And it was like the most disgusting thing you've ever seen. So
we knew
well enough not to post it. That picture is on my hard drive and it will never see the light of day anywhere. But we did get better.
Yeah, we figured things out pretty quickly and then launched it and just kind of started figuring things out as we went along. Yeah. Started meeting people and just through social media and Instagram. And it was really fun. It was like kind of we jumped in, but it all started happening so quickly.
Yeah, it's a great community, especially back like in 2015 when we first launched. Like Instagram was a little more new and a little more rough and tumble than it is now. And so, we had just met amazing people and have met like some of our closest friends because of social media and Instagram and gone to like food events. And there's been, it's just been a crazy fun journey since then.
Yeah. Did we grow up cooking?
I did. I always loved to cook with my mom and grandma. And I always loved to bake. I always love making like cookies and brownies and cakes. I would make my own birthday cake sometimes just because that way you get exactly what you want.
I was opposite. I never liked to cook. I didn't like having a messy kitchen. I didn't like doing dishes. I just didn't like following recipes. It's just the whole thing. I just wanted something quick and easy. So when I started getting into it, it was just very natural and I really fell in love with it.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is that you love to eat. You know what I mean? Like we both appreciate good food and good flavors and just love the sensory experiences.
And I also fell in love with the cooking process and I didn't mind doing the dishes because it was so rewarding. You know, I started liking all the things that I used to not like too.
Exactly.
I think you're the first person in almost 4 years, Adam, that said, I like doing dishes.
I don't. And so I do. That's a lie. I don't like, I don't enjoy it. I don't love it. And we don't have a dishwasher. So we do hand wash all of our things.
Yeah. I mean, doing
and
a
so
whole
when
cookbook.
We have company like we did over the weekend and you have five people here, it adds up when you have appetizers and desserts and you know.
Yeah. It's a lot of dishes. I will say, I kind of like doing dishes a little bit.
So there you go.
I do. To me, there is something almost like meditative about taking this giant mess of a sink and transforming it into neatly stacked dishes. Like,
no.
There's just something a little pleasurable with that.
No.
You don't feel me on that?
No.
Okay.
I'm just gonna stop you while you're ahead. You know what? You can feel free to fly from Eagle Rock to my 100 square feet and do all my dishes.
I'll come and do your dishes for you. And I'll just
true.
Zen
he really
out
does.
While I do
and
it.
He even says that it warms his hands in the morning.
Yeah, like if it's a cold morning or cold day, like doing dishes like a warm sink. I don't know. Put on some music. I don't know. It's not that bad.
I don't know. Maybe the In Your Mouth listeners are going to be into it with you, right? But I don't see
I
don't see these comments faring well with the community.
Okay, but I'm not saying I'm like some perfect person that loves all chores because there are definitely things I don't like. Like, you know when you get a new jar of peanut butter and you have to stir it? And there's like oil on top and you have to like stir it to make like blend the oil in? I cannot stand that. I hate it so much that I will, even though I love peanut butter, I will actively like eat other things so I don't have to open a new jar just because it's so annoying.
I have a great hack for that, by the way. You want to know what it is?
Yes, because I hate that job.
Yeah, buy the peanut butter that doesn't do that.
Yeah, but it doesn't taste as good. It doesn't taste as good for me.
Oh my
god. Suggestion.
Hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. my god, I'm so silly. So anyways, so you get together, you fall in love. All of a sudden, you say, we're going to start this blog and it's going to be this passion project that we do together. What's the first thing that kind of really takes off that you notice?
Well, first of all, I'll just say that we fell in love and then 14 years later, we started the blog. It took a long time for us to start it after being together. But the first thing that took off was I think we started gaining an audience very quickly on Instagram, quicker than we expected, you know?
There wasn't like one post. There wasn't like one thing that like went viral or like exploded.
Using hashtags.
Yeah.
5 years ago were more effective than it is now. So you could use hashtags that would flag certain accounts that have like a million followers, like Bon Appetit Magazine or
Epicurious,
Food and Wine or Epicurious. Yeah. And so if they saw a beautiful photo and a good recipe, they would repost your photo and feature and highlight Husbands That Cook, and then you would gain lots of followers from those features. And we got featured from a lot of things right off the bat in the beginning.
What do you think the allure was?
I think one thing is that there's not a lot of male food bloggers in the scene that we've...
It's definitely a minority.
It's definitely a minority. And then on top of that, being a gay couple... Mm-hmm. Not just a male, but two males, and then being gay. I think there's not many that I can think of a gay cooking couples out there.
It's pretty different from a lot of the people that are out there. And I don't know. I think we have a fun name, and we try to our presence online. We have always just tried to put forward just like a sort of joyful, fun, lighthearted presence. And so, I don't know, I think people just kind of respond to that. It's like, yeah, come on, hang out, let's make some food.
Another thing I'll just say, throw in too, is like, so for somebody that used to not like cooking and that used to get overwhelmed by it, I really appreciate recipes that are simple and easy to follow. And I think that's become our thing, is like we want people to be able to cook along and follow and make our recipes and then be able to do it easily.
Even if you're a beginner cook.
Because if you start following wrong and you start making something and it's too confusing, it takes the fun out of it, and then it doesn't turn out. It's just a big disaster. Yeah. So we try to make it just very simple, very clear. And that way anybody could do it. I always think of some friends of mine who hate cooking, and I'm thinking of them, if they were reading this recipe, that they could just look at it and be like, oh, I can make that.
Yeah. And like you mentioned that the Sever thing, like we were nominated for best how-to blog. And I think part of that is like what he's talking about is that we try to really break stuff down to make it easy for people. And also we've always done is step-by-step photos on our blog. So like the first photo will always be a spread of all the ingredients in one place. You can kind of see like a bird's eye view of what kind of you're dealing with. And then we do step-by-step photos of showing like, you know, stirring something or kneading something so you can see how to do it. So even if you're a beginner cook who's never made a cake before, you can follow this recipe and you'll have success.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always love asking that question because, you know, I deep dive into the background of all my guests, right? My community knows that 98% of the time we are meeting for the first time here on the podcast because I love having a super candid conversation. So I know what the allure would be for me, but I'm always interested to see like what you're thinking like in the background of the process. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hopefully also that people were attracted to the actual dishes that we were presenting.
Yes, the actual recipe.
Yeah, they looked at it and they said, I want to make that.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite recipe?
Well, one of the ones that's closest to my heart is actually the first recipe that we ever put on the blog way back in 2015. We launched the blog with two recipes,
Is this that pink pepper?
No, it's not. Definitely not. That is not even close to my favorite. We launched with a penne pasta and also my favorite recipe, which is a triple chocolate fudge brownie. It's like a really dense, chocolatey, just intensely delicious brownie. That's like the best brownie I've ever had. And it's the thing we launched the blog with. It was a recipe that before we launched the blog, people would always say, oh, can you bring your brownies? Or can I get the recipe for the brownies? Everybody loved them. So we even made them again recently.
They're so good.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you, do you go back into the blog to remake things or rework
things? All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Like we had people over this weekend for like a little holiday party. And we made a bunch of things from the book, black beans and rice. It was a Cuban-themed get-together because Ryan is actually half Cuban. You could tell.
We had a bunch of recipes all from our book, actually, but we had black beans and rice, a dish called yuca con mojo. Yuca is like cassava in English.
Yes,
it's kind of like a potato.
A root vegetable.
We bought some plátanos to do, you know, fried plantains. And for dessert, we had my abuelita's flan.
And all these are in the book.
And all these recipes are in the book. So I'm still in the kitchen.
We will plug the book and link it out. Never you worry here.
Yeah, but it's funny,
we
though.
We are all about supporting the community and the village, for sure.
Thank you. So sweet. I'm not even like trying to plug the book. But it's honestly true that like we cook out of it and cook from our blog all the time because they're on the blog and they're in the book because they're our favorites already. They're our favorite recipes. So it's like, these are favorite things.
Yeah. Everything that we always put out, we're very proud of. We're always like in the kitchen going, if we're not saying, then it's not good.
It's not good enough. We're like, oh, that's tasty. No, it's not going in the blog. It needs to be
oh my God. Mind-blowing. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. And I think now, just on that high note, I think now would be a great time to take you out to my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast, a little something we like to call...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Food news update!
Food news!
Ooh, honey, you ain't ready,
girl. Spill the tea.
News update. Native Land Beer Project is brewing an IPA to recognize local tribes and support Native initiatives. Have you heard about this?
No, but that's really cool. I love that.
I thought this was really, really awesome, especially because I just spent a week in Albuquerque, where, you know, I live in New York City, and we are a melting pot. There, everybody is here. All cultures, everybody is here. But what was really beautiful about being in Albuquerque was that the indigenous people, the Native American people, are living and thriving in a way that I just don't really get to experience living in New York, you know? And I just thought it was really special and just a beautiful moment. And so then I came across this article from Food and Wine. Thank you, Food and Wine. So it just so happens that this Albuquerque-based Bow and Arrow Brewing has created a similar campaign to support an often overlooked group, especially within the brewing community, Native Americans. Billed as America's first and only female-owned Native American brewery, Bow and Arrow saw an opportunity to recognize the Tiwa people indigenous to the area where their beer is brewed. So on Indigenous Peoples Day, founder Shyla Shepherd launched Native Land Beer, an open source IPA recipe other breweries can use to join in on the project. So the goal is to get all these other breweries to like join in on this project to celebrate different tribes.
That is
great
so cool.
It's a great idea, great cause.
Yeah, I love that they're making the recipe available. So even if you're a brewery in Maine or you're a brewery in Minnesota or wherever, you can
make it and it would donate to the cause. That's genius.
So far 30 breweries from at least 7 states have joined in. And now her goal is to have a brewery from every state. The objective is...
The
objective is to further visibility of Native people and to generate resources to support Native organizations whose work focuses on ecological stewardship and strengthening Native communities.
That's really cool. I mean, like you said, I feel like, we're in outside Los Angeles, so I feel like living in big cities, we're pretty disconnected from Native American culture in a lot of ways. So I mean,
but you live in a place called Eagle Rock.
We do. And there is a giant rock that has a shadow, like at certain times of day, it casts a shadow that's like an eagle. It's really cool.
And Native American people supposedly lived
in the Tongva, I think, was our local tribe that lived in this area.
Yeah. So, no, I just thought it was really special and I really wanted to take a moment to celebrate, you know, our Indigenous people, the Native Americans here on the podcast, especially after having this experience in Albuquerque. And you know what? If you're looking for random gifts for the beer lover in your life, why not this, right?
I love it.
It's a great idea.
I think we're absolutely here for this. I think I can speak for all of us.
100% right? Here, present and here for this.
Yes,
I hope they raise a lot of money.
I bet you it's delicious too.
I'm sure.
All right.
I'm sure
those girls.
I like IPA.
Yes. Right. Why not? Highest alcohol content. Get drunk. Support the people.
Love it.
Planes will soon be powered by cooking grease. Have you heard about this one now?
I have. I've heard of cars running on old grease, but not airplanes. What?
So apparently British Airways has announced plans to fuel some of its planes with cooking oil.
That's cool. Does the whole plane smell like fish and
French
chips?
French fries.
Right? French fries, fish and chips.
Oh my God.
You know?
That's, I mean...
Old
they
calamari.
Do that? I mean, why not? They can serve, they can have like fat fryers going on the plane, like serve you onion rings and French fries or whatever, and then it just like gets circulated into the engine.
Yeah, like there's like an eject button.
Like
there's an eject button that like kind of like just empties the hot fryer into the fuel tank.
Why not?
I actually, brilliant, but I don't think it works like that.
It probably doesn't work like that. I'm guessing there's probably one or two steps in between fryer and...
Yes, so this article comes to us from thetakeout.com. Thank you to The Takeout. So this is called Sustainable Aviation Fuel, or SAF. And The Guardian was reporting that it's a low carbon intensity fuel, whatever that means. It's derived from vegetable oils, fats, and greases. And it's apparently powerful enough to send a jet hurling across the sky. British Airways is calling it drop-in fuel, pointing out that it can be blended with traditional jet fuel or co-processed alongside traditional refinery feedstocks.
I mean, anything that cuts down on
the global warming,
product usage,
right?
That's amazing. That's really, really cool.
But now, but now all I can think about is like anytime you just made plantains, you made tostones, like where do we send the grease?
Send it to like British Airways, apparently. Right, just mail it.
Please send all your old bacon cooking grease to British Airways at 1136
for half the luggage.
Exactly.
DuPont's, or you know what? You bring your little like coffee can of grease in and they give you like a free luggage check or something.
Yeah. That why not? Let's do it.
I mean, could you imagine? I don't know if I trust this yet, but I am no scientist. So like if they figured it out. Like, absolutely, right?
Recycling is cool. They've been teaching it since we were kids. So, reduce, reuse, recycle.
I mean, it makes me a little nervous, but I'm not a scientist. So
I trust scientists. You know what? I just trust them.
I mean, science is real. So
yes, it is.
I love it. I love it. I just, much like you did, I just went down this hole of, like, really, like, the McDonald's. Like, I mean... If we could power everything from old McDonald's and Burger King fast food cooking grease.
Yeah. Well, I know I've heard of people that have, you can convert your, if you have a diesel engine in your car, you can convert it to run on cooking grease. Like it's a real thing.
I've seen one and it actually does smell.
It does smell like
French fries.
Like French fries when it drives by, which is like much better than exhaust smell. I'd rather smell French fries.
There's that Golden Girls episode. I forget which one right now, but where Rose is talking about the Fjord Furling that was the only car in St. Olaf that ran on cow manure. are we Golden Girls fans?
Of course it did. Oh, yes. I love them all so much. I love them all.
I don't know. I'm here for the cooking grease, especially if like my entire flight smells like French fries and not old calamari, right?
Yes, let's stick with the potatoes, not the seafood, yeah.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. And last but not least, there is a cream cheese shortage striking the nation.
Mm. No, what? Really?
Yes.
That's terrible. How people get their schmears.
I mean, this is from the New York Times, thanks to the New York Times. But as of a week and a half ago, Miss Ashley Wong was reporting, Zabar's is running low, Tompkins Square Bagels is down to sticks, and Pick-A-Bagel only has a few days' supply left. All over New York City, bagel makers are saying a schmear shortage is threatening one of the most treasured local delicacies, bagels and cream cheese.
First of all, schmear shortage is really hard to say.
Yes, absolutely. especially when you have no voice.
Schmear shortage.
Why cream cheese? Why, out of all the dairy products, that one?
Is there a sour cream shortage? Is there a butter shortage?
I don't know.
Why? What happened to cream cheese?
Sometimes these, I think that I fall down a deep hole of conspiracy theories. And this is the only time I'm a conspiracy theorist when it comes to all these food shortages because, you know, around the Super Bowl, there's always a wing shortage. Around Christmas, there's always a tree shortage, right?
Yeah, like good luck finding pumpkin at Thanksgiving because
I think the industry, especially the food industry, is like, let's say there's a shortage, so they'll just buy more. You know?
I mean,
it's an advertisement.
I wouldn't put it past them. It's like the best advertising.
Yeah,
but that's terrifying, though. If there really was a cream cheese
then
shortage,
you got to buy the vegan cream cheese, like how I do. So I'm not vegan, but I buy the vegan cream cheeses because I can digest them better.
Yeah, he's lactose intolerant.
Oh my god,
yeah, that means just make more vegan cream cheese.
That Miyoko's cream cheese. They are not.
That's the one I get.
They are not a sponsor, but I don't care because it is so freaking delicious. That vegan
cream
cheese.
It's so good. They have so many good. They're also not sponsored, but they have an herb wheel cheese that you're supposed to like put on like a cheese board.
Yeah,
like jaw droppingly good. It's so delicious.
Yeah,
I love it.
I mean, so there's an option for you. Find really good vegan cream cheese and do that.
Yep.
But this just goes back to the supply chain that, and the pandemic. You know, for about three weeks now, dairy suppliers said the cream cheese orders they have placed with manufacturers have come up short. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, in New York, they're gonna have to start like declaring martial law in New York. People are gonna be rioting. It's gonna be insane.
You know, it's like depression.
Rationing. People are gonna be lining up down the streets to get their like little teaspoon.
You know, their little cup of cream cheese, that little sauce cup.
Oh, it'll be so sad.
I mean, it would be so sad.
Maybe there'll be a Christmas miracle and all the cream cheese will come in.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, New York without cream cheese is like Christmas without Santa. So it can't happen. Yeah. It can't happen.
It'll be a New York Christmas miracle, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think we're here for this cream cheese shortage. I do think this is a great way to end Food News Update. How is that for you, boys?
Great updates.
Life-changing.
Well, I'm going to stock up on cream cheese.
You can talk about this around the water cooler tomorrow. You know, it's great topics. It's great topics. Another great topic I wanted to explore with you was I love that you've been together, for so long, but you're also each other's first boyfriend.
It is true.
He wasn't kidding when he said he deep dove.
I know. You've done your research. So I met Adam when I was 19. I was a freshman in college, and I wasn't even fully out at the time. I was out to a few friends, but not to my family, not to most of my friends. I met him in my freshman year, so there wasn't really time to have other boyfriends. I just met him, and then I was like, oh, well, that's done.
Yeah, he was my first boyfriend, too. And it made it a lot easier for us to go to both of our parents since after finding somebody who we really loved, because you don't care. I mean, it's a lot easier to tell somebody when you're in love.
To come out and say, hey, I've met somebody. Yeah. It's not just like, hey, I'm gay, but it's like, hey, I'm gay and I've met somebody that I want you to meet.
Yeah, Ryan's parents had a funny reaction. They said, we knew, we were waiting for you to tell us.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we've known since you were a little kid. We're wondering.
Well, you let us down the road, and I always ask about coming out on the podcast because we never know who's listening, and it's important to hear. So let's continue down the road. And what was coming out like for the two of you?
It
was right around this time of year.
It was at Christmas. Yeah.
In 2001.
2001. I went home for Christmas and sat my parents down and said, I met somebody when I was at college, and it's a guy. His name is Adam. And like I said, I was very lucky. They said, we've known for a long time. We love you. Their concern was just that I be safe. My mom had a cousin who was gay and who passed away in the early 90s during the AIDS crisis. And so that was her first thought, was just, I want you to be safe. But I was very lucky because they were completely supportive. My Cuban Catholic grandmother was 100% supportive, loved Adam just like her own grandson. I was so lucky.
Yeah, she was the best. And actually, that was another thing. We made one of her recipes the other night. We forgot to mention when we were talking about the dinner party, but we made a Spanish tortilla.
Oh, that's right.
And anytime we would go up to visit her in Portland, she made two Spanish tortillas. She made one for the family and one for me. And this was in the very beginning of our relationship. And
she loved him immediately.
She did, even though she was very Catholic and in her 90s, but it didn't matter.
Why I often find that the grandparents are even better about getting it than the parents sometimes.
I think part of it was for her, because she grew up in Argentina and Spain and Cuba. And so it was old country, old school. But she had a family member that she was very close with, like a nephew, basically, that was gay. And, she said that he played with dolls in Cuba when he was a little boy, and she always knew. And she loved him just the same as everybody else. And so I think she just loved everybody. And she didn't care whether you were gay or straight or anything. She just loved people. So, I feel very lucky.
My experience was just as good, too. I came out to my mom when I was 26 and my dad and the rest of my family. And both of us just had very easy experiences.
Yeah,
we didn't have any negativity or anything. Everybody's been very accepting. And so we've been lucky in that.
Yeah, I think part of it is that neither of our families are religious. I think that's part of it. A lot of my friends who are gay who've had more trouble coming out is usually because the parents are religious, and that wasn't really a factor for either of our families. So I think we were just, like I said,
that's
very lucky.
Beautiful. And I always also say that, I don't qualify coming out stories on the pod because, the journey, everyone's journeys are different. And you're here with me because of the glow up and the beautiful people you've become. And sometimes the journey's a little rough, but when you've come through on the other side, you're in this beautiful space and you're in this. So I try not to qualify people's stories, and they are what they are. And yours is just as beautiful. And we are lucky to have parents that love us too, because not everyone is so lucky at the same time,
Yeah. Well, and also, even though I was fairly confident that they would react fine, and I wouldn't be kicked out of the house or, beaten up or something like some people have happened. It's horrible. I was pretty certain that wasn't going to happen, but you never know exactly what's going to happen. And so those feelings of in those moments leading up to finally saying it for the first time,
it's difficult.
It's hard. Even if you think you are in a supportive place, it's still hard. And like you said, everybody who's done this journey or been on this journey, it's just slightly different, but in some ways it's all the same. We all feel that same.
It's a recurring topic here that there has been no signal that anything bad is going to happen, but there's this innate, fight or flight, thing happening within you and it's there, even though there are no signs that anything is going to happen. Right. So it's a thing. And, some of us are lucky and some of us have more challenging experiences. But I think especially during the holidays, it's important to talk about this because we as LGBTQ people, whether we have blood family in our lives or have to rely on our chosen family, you know, the holidays can be hard, especially for LGBTQ people. And so hearing positive stories and hearing stories of love and coming together and familial love, you know, I think is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hope that more and more people have coming out stories that sound more like ours, you know, but because I feel like things are changing and hopefully just this generational shift, and it'll just get easier and easier for people. And we'll get to a point where people don't even have to come out at some point, you know, where people just are who they are.
In a perfect world, yes. You just reminded me. You just reminded me, and I'm going to plug them because I think they're doing really, really good work. There's an Instagram account out there called Trans Santa. That's TRANS Santa. I think all one word and one S. I'm looking it up now. I didn't even plan on talking about this. You just reminded me. But yes, 1S, trans, TRANSANTA. And what this person or these people are doing is are collecting letters to Santa from trans people in need, right? Maybe trans people in not so great situations, trans people that need a little help, because I always also say that there's a high number, a high percentage of homeless youth out on the streets, and an even higher percentage of that number are LGBTQ youth, especially trans youth. And so basically, Trans Santa on Instagram, you can go through these letters, and then this person has created Amazon wish lists based on the letters, and you just buy things to fulfill these people's list. So if you're looking for something charitable to do this holiday season and you don't know what, this is a way you don't have to spend $1 million and you really can feel like you're really helping somebody. I really love that. I found them not that long ago, and just this conversation really reminded me of just, like, you know, the youth out there and how we as a community just need to support each other.
Yeah, I love that idea too, just because you're really helping individual people. And you like you said, you don't have to spend a lot of money. You can make a big impact in somebody's life. And that's really, really cool.
Yeah, the wish list. You can go buy one thing off the wish list, and, you know, and people are asking for, like, binders. Like, you know, trans people are asking for their trans binders or school supplies, or, you know, it's real things. Like, nobody's, I haven't seen anything, you know, asking for anything like exorbitant.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good thing. I'm going to check that out.
Check it out. In Your Mouth listeners, check it out there. Gentlemen, what's next for you? Tell the kids what's next. What's on the horizon?
Well, what's mostly on the horizon is we are going up to Portland for Christmas to see my family. I'm really excited just to spend some time up there. Maybe we'll get some snow. I don't know. I'm just a huge fan of the holidays and all the holiday baking and treats and just, I don't know. I love stockings. I'm a big nerd for Christmas. And I'm just excited
to
spend
it.
Yeah. Every year we go up to Christmas for the holidays and
to Portland. What is it up to Christmas?
Every year we go up to Christmas for the Portland.
Mary Oregon.
So, but it's tradition in his family to have Stollen on the table, and it's so inconsistent every year. It's different. Sometimes it's too dry. Sometimes it's not sweet enough. But anyway,
wait. What's on the table?
So it's called Stollen. It's a German bread / cake.
It's like a Christmas bread
that you rob from the bakery. Is that why it's called Stollen?
It's stolen. Yeah, no, it's like a sweet bread, like a brioche kind of, but it has dried fruit and orange peel and marzipan and, like, frosting, and it's like this really festive, fun thing.
So it's a fruit cake.
But it's like a bread. It's way better than fruitcake.
It's similar. Every year his family gets one from a bakery or a neighbor brings one over, and they're not that good. But this year we actually made our own recipe. And
it's
so
perfected.
As far as what's next for us, I think that'll probably be the next recipe that we post about, is just because it came out so good.
It's this like amazing Christmas bread. It's so good.
Awesome. I love that.
Stolen.
Is there another book in the works?
We were actually just talking about that we love the process of making the book, but it takes so much time. It took 2 years out of our lives.
Long days, long hours.
We missed out on family events and
just working,
hanging out with
like
friends
7 days a week. Yeah. And
it's just not worth it. Financially, to put that much time into something to not get that much back on it.
It's a great sort of portfolio of our work. It's something we can always show. And yes, we're authors, you know, where we have this book. But another one, it would have to really make sense. It would have to be the right thing.
They'd have to pay us $1 million. And then we'll do another book.
I love
so,
that.
Yeah, not at the moment, but definitely more online content.
All right. You got to go to their website, folks. It's absolutely stunning. Before we close out, holiday tips, right?
Mm.
Top three tips for the holidays. Go.
Okay, make ahead recipes. So like if you're hosting brunch, do like an overnight French toast. You just make it the night before, and that way all you do in the morning is just throw it in the oven and you're ready to go. You don't have to do any cooking in the morning.
Shop ahead of time,
obviously.
Things sell out. It gets too crowded at the end.
Even food stuff, like we were talking about. If you're looking for like cranberries or, you know, something really
cream
specific,
cheese.
Get it early. Cream
yeah,
cheese,
get
apparently.
It
get it early. Get in line at the local cream cheese store. And what third thing? What would I say? Buy a dishwasher. Oh, and just like... enjoy the holidays. Don't worry too much about a few extra calories here and there. Just have some cookies.
Yeah, I love that. Every year, my best friend Justin and his mom, shout out to you, Bernadette Quackenbush, do this big cookie bake together, and they send me this massive box, and I woke up
Lucky.
This morning, and I must have been like sleepwalking. That box was torn to shreds. I was like... sleeping and cookies last night. They gotta go. They're so good.
Christmas cookies are the best cookies.
Pfeffernusse.
Oh,
my favorite.
Yes. I love Pfeffernusse, gingerbread, anything like a spice and cinnamon like that. Mm.
Yeah. Back to National
full
Gingerbread
circle.
Latte Day.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
We have gingerbread snickerdoodles on our website.
We do.
Those are really good.
We do.
You know where those gingerbread snickerdoodles are not?
Where?
In my apartment.
In your mouth.
In my mouth. Exactly.
Yeah,
thank you.
I will be waiting. We'll mail some out to you.
I will be waiting. Thank you. Oh my God. This has been such a great day and such a great time. I'm so happy and so honored that we finally figured out the scheduling and we got you on, and I'm so happy to connect with you. Thank you so much for giving me of your time today. Please let the kids know where they can find you. Give them all the handles. Give them the website. Give them the OnlyFans. Let them have it.
Yes. Well, the OnlyFans is still in the works. But for now, you can find us at husbandsatcook.com and Instagram, Husbands That Cook, Facebook, Husbands That Cook, all the places, Husbands That Cook.
Easy. And I'll link out. I'll link the book out in the liner notes. What a great, great day and a great episode. In Your Mouth, listeners, listen, the holidays are hard out there for a lot of people. I feel like I've noticed some like people just in their heads and like, you know, just dipping into the pandemic, post-pandemic, pre-pandemic or post-pandemic. That's what I mean. You know, PTSD of like being in your head and being alone. If you're going through it this holiday, ask for help. Reach out. There is help out there for you. Call a friend. You know, you don't have to be alone through this hustle and bustle and the madness of everything that's happening. You know, self-care is the best care, especially this holiday season. Like the Husbands That Cook said, you know, don't stress out. Enjoy it. take time.
Make cookies.
Yeah. Get a cookie, right? Gain a couple pounds. Who the hell cares?
And make some hot chocolate.
Absolutely. Take care of yourselves. It's important out there, you know? Yes. And that's my PSA for the day. And with that, all I got to say is thank you for listening to In Yo